أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرضا أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: هو الذي خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها. صلوات. You just heard this short skit about the conversation between husband and a wife, and the issues which were discussed in this conversation. First of all, I would like to advise the husband in this skit that it is a basic fault of the husband that before marrying, it was his job to make sure that his future spouse is familiar and ma'noos and acquainted with the ثقافت of prayers. I think how much is the duration of the skit? 8 minutes? If you can repeat it once, so everybody, 5 minutes. Okay, please repeat it once. It would be better for everyone to be on the same page, and then I will continue with this.
Dear respected listeners, Islam gives us as a guide a complete set of rules to follow to run a successful life. We have embarked on a journey to educate ourselves and our listeners on discovering these rules based on the outstanding commitment of Hujjat al-Islam Abbas Alia, who speaks about the prevention and solution to these issues. Spouse selection is one of the most important decisions in one's life, and it's not an easy task at all. Last week, we shared with you the results of disregarding Islamic guidelines with regard to the character of a husband. This week, we will share a glimpse of the life of Maria and Rehan, who also thought things may get better down the road. We will see how disregarding Islamic guidelines, the selection of a wife, and the negative influence of the extended family can lead to some unforeseen conflicts in the household. Names used in the upcoming sketch are for presentation purposes only. and any resemblance will only be incidental and not intentional. Please join us as we listen in on Maria and Rehan on a typical day in their lives.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar.
Rehan, how long do you have to pray? Mommy's waiting for you to drop us off at the mall.
Maria, you have to wait till I finish. And when did I say that we are going to the mall? I said mosque.
I know you said masjid, but mommy came over and we decided to do some shopping. What's the big deal? Just drop us at the mall and go wherever you want to go and pick us up in a couple of hours.
Maria, how much longer, baby? I have to go back home. Why did you have me come if you didn't want to go?
Mom, few more minutes. Rehan is finishing and he will drop us.
Maria, I have already told you that there is a fundraising at the masjid for the homeless and needy people. We're running late for that already, and you started to talk about shopping? We should donate some money for a good cause than only spending it on you. And you just went shopping with your mom the other day.
Rehan, I'm getting sick of your lectures. You always bring religion into my happiness. Whenever I want to shop for myself, you bring masjid and donation. Whenever I tell you to take me out on the country for vacation, you bring up Hajj and Ziyarat. Who can have fun at Hajj and Ziyarat? Wearing plain clothes and praying all day long? You do it all here anyways. My happiness doesn't mean anything to you.
Maria, honey, what's going on? Rehan, are you trying to hurt Maria again?
Mom, I didn't say anything.
So why is she crying? You always make her feel bad. If you couldn't keep her happy, why did you marry her?
Mom, I didn't marry her to let her do whatever she wants to do. I have to correct her whenever she's wrong.
For you, I'm always wrong. I can't stay out with my friends past midnight. I can't go to concerts. I can't invite my college friends for sleepovers. You don't even allow me to keep my poodle with me. Daddy got it for me as an anniversary gift.
Maria, you know, you are my wife, and you know I can't stay home alone when you are hanging out with your friends and half of them even bring their boyfriends with them. How can I see my wife go out and party with strangers? I know you used to do that before we got married, but I explained to you before we got married what my habits and priorities were.
But I didn't know you will not change. And if you don't want to change, why should I?
Maria, it is not a matter of change. It's what is allowed and what is not. I told you, we can't keep a dog in our apartment because it is impure and not because of your attachment. And music and dance concerts will not take us to heaven. Salat and Hajj will. Bringing over your college friends in their shorts and vulgar tops, how can you expect me to socialize with those girls?
When did I ask you to socialize? If you can't see them around, leave and stay with your friend for one night. All those girls tell me after marrying with you and wearing hijab, I look like an old lady. I used to be a beauty queen in college.
And those are the habits I expected you to change. We didn't have a child for 4 years because of your concern about your shape and looks.
Rehan, don't blame Maria for everything. If you wanted someone so religious, you should have married a nun or a Malani. Maria, leave him alone. I don't want my child to suffer like this. Let's go home. We'll take a cab.
Mom, please don't make things worse. This is her house, and I'm her husband.
Don't talk to my mother like that. Marrying me doesn't give you any right to insult my mother. I regret the day I married you.
Maria, watch what you're saying.
I know what I'm saying. I can't live with you and your nonsense anymore.
Behave yourself, Maria.
You behave yourself, or I'll call police. Let Maria go, Maria. We'll take care of him later. It's all your father's fault.
So, first of all, the first advice is for the husband. There are things which are possible to be discovered before the marriage, and one of those things is the concept of this the values of especially about prayers and whether or not a person is particular about prayers. This is something which is extremely important in our Islam. This is something which is considered to be the pillar of the religion. If a person is totally disoriented if a person has nothing to do with the Saqafat of prayers, you know, this is not a good idea for you to marry a person unless there is unless there is a change taking place. Because if somebody has nothing to do with the prayers, that person can never be a good life partner for you. Yeah, there are lots of people who don't know, or they are new to Islam. They can always learn and improve. We are not talking about that. We are talking about those who are already familiar about Islamic teachings, but they are intentionally ignoring the importance of prayers. This is unacceptable. In the final moments of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, when he was passing away, he said, and that's narrated by his wife Ummu Hamida salamullah alayha, that inna shafa'atana la tanalu mustakhiffan as-salat, that our shafa'at is not going to reach the person who considers prayers to be lowly or unimportant. So anybody who considers prayers to be unimportant is basically unacceptable, and this thing has to be improved. This is something that you can watch, you can find out, you can discover before marrying. Second of all, this advice is for the wife, that going to shopping is not a problem in Islam. The problem in Islam is we should give importance to our value system, or any kind of course israf or overspending is haram in Islam. It's not permissible. Even doing israf of the regarding Islamic buying Islamic stuff is also haram. What to talk of buying other stuff? This is one of the signs of one of the appreciated attributes of a wife, that she can save money for the husband. Because if she is particular in saving money, this is considered to be an appreciated attribute for the wife. But if the husband is a miser, this is considered to be a negative attribute for the husband. So certain attributes are negative for the husband and positive for the wife. And one of those is spending the money. So this is something which a wife has to be particular about. Prophet said to Imam Ali alayhi salam that ma ahadun min al awwalina wal akhirin illa wa huwa yatamanna yawm al qiyamah annahu lam yu'ta min ad dunya illa quta. So there isn't a single person among the earlier and the later generations except that he would wish on the day of judgment that maybe I were given nothing but qut. Qut in Arabic means what is the basic necessity required for your survival. So anything more than that, we, all of us without exception, will wish on the day of judgment, we wish we didn't get it. Anything more than our necessities is problematic. Whenever we are rejoicing with something, some of the material blessings which are more than our need, we must remember that we are actually affecting the life of others through ways that we may not even understand. Because there's a limited piece of pie in this world, and there's a limited amount of resources in this world, and whosoever has overspending in his personality, more than his necessity of life or her necessity of life, this person is certainly misbehaving and wrongfully dealing with this amanat and trust of Allah, which is the money. And this is one of the reasons why some others are suffering. Remember what Imam Ali alayhi salam has said: whenever you want to buy something, more than your necessity of life, remember this hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he has said that ma ja'a faqirun illa bima mutta'a bihi ghaniyun. There isn't any faqir, a poor person who goes hungry, except due to the fact that some rich person is enjoying and rejoicing. There is some rich person who is enjoying with his richness, and that's the reason why some person who goes hungry, goes hungry. So let's remember this when we are dealing with the money. Spending for the poor people is something which we should cherish about. That's our real investment. If you want to count your investments, look at how much money you invested. You sent forth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means you spent for the noble causes, for the poor and destitute people. Don't consider that much money as a loss from your finances. That much money is actually your gain, an investment, because that's what was the behavior of munafiqeen and hypocrites in the time of Rasulullah. Min al-a'rab man yara ma yunfiqu maghraman. It's a sign of the munafiqeen in the time of Rasulullah, those Bedouins who were ignorant about the teachings of the Holy Prophet. They used to consider spending in the way of Allah as a loss and deficit in their money. Whereas Quran has condemned this way of thinking, and we should consider what we spend for the sake of the poor people. As like the guy is mentioning in his statement, there is a fundraising for the poor people about to take place in the masjid. So this is something which is appreciated. This is something which has to be supported. Fundraising for the poor is a noble cause. That's our investment. Vacations are good. Vacations, there is not a problem in vacation in Islam. Vacationing can take place, but everything has to be, there has to be a balance. There has to be a level of fairness involved in all these things. Inna lil nafsi iqbalan wa idbaran. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said in Nahj al-Balagha, the nafs of a person, the soul of a person, has iqbal and idbar. In other words, sometimes our spirituality is readily there to accept. Sometimes our spirituality is not on the stage there where we are ready to accept different sorts of sacrifices and worships and supplications and du'as and all those, divine teachings. So when your nafs is prepared to accept it, that's the time when we are supposed to treat our nafs with those things. We are not supposed to impose the worships of God on ourselves, except what is wajib. Vacationing is good, but there is no comparison with vacationing with ziyarat. This is a very, very unfair comparison. Ziyarat of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, a pilgrimage paying visit to their holy shrines, is one of the greatest worships of God. They are the greatest representative. Prophet is the greatest representative of God, and his holy family, the Ahlul Bayt, are the greatest ones after him. Paying a visit to their graves is extremely recommended in Islam, and certainly the rights of the wife has to be taken care of, and you cannot go to the pilgrimage after neglecting the your nafaqa, the sustenance that you are obliged to pay towards your wife, or all other expenditures or needs and necessities of the wife. Certainly the husband has to take care of that, but there shouldn't be any comparison between vacationing and with ziyarat. Ziyarat is a value, whether a person himself is ready to go for ziyarat or not, but if somebody else is going for ziyarat, it is after fulfilling his obligation towards you. This is something you should be happy about, that at least my husband is ready to go and perform such a great deal of worship. It is also important to remember, like you all know, there is no room in Islam for music or dancing or concerts or late night sleepovers and all that kind of un-Islamic stuff, which is nothing but lahw and la'ib. it's haram, but it also takes us away from Allah's zikr and remembrance. And anything that takes us away from Allah's zikr and remembrance has to be stopped. It's prohibited in our in the Sharia of Islam. Keeping a dog is only permissible for two reasons. Either if you want a dog for your security, or if you want a dog for hunting. These are the two reasons which Islam allows. And then also we need to keep the dog outside the house, because it is Islamically unclean, and we are not supposed to bring Islamically unclean stuff in our house. لا تدخل الملائكة بيتا فيه الكلب. In the light of the hadith, we learn that the angels of God do not enter a house where there is a dog. So if you have a dog in the house, remember, you are yourself blocking the arrival of all the angels of Allah. How can the blessings come when you yourself are blocking the angels to arrive? There is a room for, we should deal with each other with love and respect. Certainly, that's the way we should do. But everything has a limit. If things go beyond the limit, it's the job of the head of the family to take a stand. Whether it was the father of this girl who was familiar with dancing and concerts before she married, it was the job of her father to take a stand. This thing should not be promoted in the house. This should not be, these are not the values. These are valuelessness and valueless behaviors which has to be supported way back by the father if the same things were available in his time. And it is the job of the husband, being the wali and sarparast and head of the family, to control these things. And Islam has no room for this kind of haram behavior to prevail in our households. Habits. One of the things which was mentioned was habits. We don't do nothing out of habits in Islam. Let's be clear. Habits need to be overcome, whether you have good or you have bad habits. Even the good habits need to be overcome, because in Islam, we don't do nothing out of habits. We do things out of our sense of responsibility towards Allah. That's how we do things. You don't pray out of habit. Praying out of habit is condemned. You don't pray, you don't give zakat out of habit. You don't give khums out of habit. You don't fast out of habit. This is not Islamic way of doing the worships. We do the worships for the sake of God upon His command, to seek His pleasure, because we hold ourselves responsible and accountable before our Creator. And we want to seek His pleasure. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said in Nahjul Balagha that غَالِبُوا عَادَاتِكُمْ, overcome your habits. So our habits need to be overcome. Whether we have good habits or bad habits, nothing should be done out of habits. So it's not an Islamic way, quote unquote, it's not an Islamic way of saying somebody, well, I have the habit of doing this, so I have to do that. No, this is not something which is supported by Islamic teachings. And the prime goal for marriage is the taqwa, to achieve, maintain and advance the taqwa. The wife assisting the husband and the husband assisting his wife in achieving and acquiring of taqwa and promoting the taqwa. If this hadaf and this goal is still not clear in the minds of some, taqwa means piety. Achieving the piety and promoting the piety. If this is not clear in the minds of some, we should be very clear that in Islam, of all relationships, all relations, friendships, marriages, every kind of relation is based on piety and taqwa, and that's our goal. If any relation is actually harmful for your taqwa and piety, in some of the stages it becomes wajib to give divorce. If a spouse becomes an obstacle in the way of obeying Allah, it becomes wajib on the other spouse to give talaq and divorce. Hijab is looking like an old lady, this type of comment is it shows that a person is not familiar with the entire concept of hijab. We don't care about how we look to the people in the sense that what they would say about us because we are obeying God. This is not what we care about. What we care about is our protecting our spirituality and pleasing Allah. Hijab is to protect your own spirituality. You know, if somebody feels bad or considers you that you don't look nice because you are wearing hijab, we can do nothing about it. This is the ruling of God. You are taking care of your spirituality. Those who are going out by exposing their body should think what they are doing. Those who go out by protecting their spirituality should not be afraid of what they are doing. They should feel proud of what they are doing. You know, this is nothing specific to Islam. We have, hijab is a common teaching among all the previous, divine, even in the Christianity and Judaism, you find the roots of hijab still existing actually. In whatever form, you can look at the dresses of sisters and nuns, and you can look at the dresses of some of those ultra-Orthodox Jews in the occupied Palestine, how they wear, and you can understand that hijab is something which is, it has the roots in the teachings of all the prophets of God. Calling police is another commonly encountered issue. In Islam, we call our maraji, we call the hakim al-shar, we go for the walayat of faqih, the waliul faqih. We call the hakim al-shar and the representatives of the hakim al-shar, the scholars who represent our maraji. That's the thing that we do in our religious families. Whenever there's a dispute arriving, the first thing that you should do is call the scholar to come in and mediate. This is not an Islamic way of dealing the matter. This way is going to complicate spiritually, first of all, spiritually complicate your situation. You may get certain things through the legal system, but that's not the point. The point is that, was Islam not ready to provide you what you deserve? That's my question to those people who want to call police. Was Islam incapable of protecting the justful rights that you deserve to get or not? If Islam is capable of protecting justice towards you, then this is something that you should always turn, you should have got your justful rights from Islam without calling the police. You can get your justice through ways which are spiritually compatible to your spirituality and compatible with the Islamic rulings and the teachings. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. We have some other issues, and also the commentary may continue after the prayers, because I think it's the time of prayers. We'll do the Jamaat and then we'll continue with your questions and answers.